We're fired up to welcome in our weekly guest. It's great when you can tap into the wealth of knowledge and entertainment that is Brent Norton. Long time, nearly quarter century, I think, a voice of BYU baseball, and certainly having as much fun right now as he's ever had here with the Cougars' most successful season in about, 15 years with the 37 wins. Brent, welcome to the Morning Drive. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk about the WCC championships coming up.
Yeah, starting tomorrow, Tom, or on Thursday, I mean. I'm leaving tomorrow, but into Stockton, California, beautiful Stockton.
Yeah.
West Coast Conference tournament starting Thursday afternoon, so looking forward to it.
So paint a picture of your view as you call the game at Banner Island Ballpark in Stockton. I know you've told us it's a neutral site, which is a great choice. I like that idea. As long as, you know, fans get a chance to go and see, and it's a state of the art stadium. I mean, it's beautiful and perfect for that, for the occasion.
Yeah, you know, it's a great stadium. It's the double A ballpark for the Oakland A's. The Stockton Ports is the name of the team that plays there. Most people don't know that Stockton is actually a port, Tom.
No.
They have huge ships come up the river.
Wow.
And pick up all the agriculture, and this ballpark is located right on the river.
Uh-huh.
So it's called the Stockton Ports. It's about 100 miles inland from the West Coast, which is a pretty amazing feat. It's kind of like a man-made port, a huge agricultural area out there, you know, with Stockton and Modesto. And so that's where they played it all. You know, it's been 4 years since BYU's been in the West Coast Conference. They played it there every year. And top four teams are in. BYU, the number two seed. They tied for the regular season championship with Gonzaga and St. Mary's. And they will play the Bulldogs in the first round Thursday night, beginning at 8 o'clock here Mountain Time.
Right.
And we'll have all those games for you right here live on AM 960.
Yeah, looking forward to that, certainly. And the other one, you got Mary's, that was, I guess, given the number one seed based on tiebreakers, and Pepperdine. I mean, top four really wouldn't surprise if any one of the four won the tournament. So just kind of break it down from your perspective, BYU's chances. Obviously, when you have Mike Rucker going in game one, is he looking for his 12th win?
Yeah, he's 11-0.
Wow.
Looking for number 12. He will be going against Brandon Bailey, who, again, is outstanding. Each of those four teams has a number one starter that would be considered an elite guy. And so first round should be really interesting.
Yeah, and double elimination.
Right, double elimination. Losers play loser on the first game back on Friday. So there's one team eliminated very quickly.
Right.
And, the team that wins the first two has got to be beat in the doubleheader on Saturday to lose it. So it's all about pitching. And as we've mentioned, Rucker's the guy for BYU. From there, it kind of drops off with the injury woes that the Cougars have had.
Right.
There's a possibility they're going to get a couple of those guys back. Jordan Wood, right-hander, hasn't thrown for about 3 weeks with a sore arm. They think he'll be able to pitch. And Hayden Rogers, who kind of displaced his rib back in the San Francisco series 2 weeks ago, hoping that they can maybe get a few innings out of him. So if those two guys could come back, it would be really bolster the Cougars pitching and give them a much better chance to win this tournament.
RPI, which will go into the next dance, the big dance, the NCAA tournament. SEC and ACC kind of get a lot of RPI recognition because of the supposed battles within their own conferences. But right now, the Zags are at the top of the RPI. These are dated numbers. They're about a week old. But Gonzaga 35, BYU 51, Pep 77, St. Mary's 78. Interesting that if you look at the whole West, UC Santa Barbara's 21, Arizona 24, Fullerton 29. Utah, still battling for the Pac-12 title, comes in at 119. But from your perspective, I imagine I'm just kind of thinking, if BYU has to win probably one game, and then, and if they get two games and they're into that doubleheader for the title, is that, I mean, 39 wins with what they've brought to the table, it would be very, very hard. I mean, they may be in anyway. That's telling me that we've lost Brent Norton. Just me. But when I get that noise, means someone's hung up on me. It's happened to me more times than I'd care to tell you that I get that pounding noise. So are we redialing? I'm assuming. Hello. Yeah, we're redialing, Brent, because when you get that sort of quick busy that tells you that you've lost connection. I don't think I said anything to cause Brent Norton to hang up on me. I'm pretty sure that it didn't happen that way. Okay. What was it I said? Was it something that I... Hello.
You just went away. I don't know what happened. Okay. There, so I'm sorry about that.
No. It's no problem. I was making a case for the, you know, sort of the laying the land, but wondering if BYU can win. Probably, I mean, in their thinking to for an at large. Obviously, if they win the tournament, they're in. No worries. But for at large, like, are they thinking they need to win one or two, or I mean, 39 wins with two wins, 39. Even if they were say to lose the doubleheader Saturday. Would that get them in? I mean, what is there a number that they or that they think they're already in?
You know, I think Coach Littlewood has mentioned to me that he feels like they've got to get into the championship game in order to ensure themselves a bid. You know, Tom, as you mentioned, I've been doing this a long time, and there's been years that I thought we were locks to get in, and we weren't. Allowed in. I think what's working for BYU this year, as you'd mentioned, some of those RPIs.
Yep.
You know, only one team in the Pac-12 with an RPI that's even, you know, anywhere close to being in, and that's Arizona.
That's crazy.
Utah, who's leading the Pac-12.
Yeah, 119.
It's 119. Yeah. I mean, they have no chance unless they can win the Pac-12. So it's kind of topsy-turvy this year a little bit. I think the West Coast Conference certainly deserves two teams. I think the two best teams in the conference, you know, and it's reflected by their RPI, is BYU and Gonzaga.
Right.
Both have, you know, 30-plus wins, and they both played very consistently the entire year. And it's interesting, those are the two teams that are going to do battle, you know, on Thursday night, first
right.
round. So
and one
it's,
of them...
it's going to be a...
Yeah,
a big one.
One of them is going to be in a must-win come Friday. They're going to have to win that game. But you're thinking if BYU were to win Thursday and Friday and get into that championship bracket on Saturday, that would be enough. And then, obviously, you just have to win one of those two. You wouldn't have to win the doubleheader.
Right.
And then there's no question. And then it's who can they pull along? Because you know – the Cougars would love to bring another team from the West Coast Conference along with them,
and
that would be have to play out.
Yep, that would be exactly right, and that seems to be the thinking right now. But you know, Tom, with the NCAA and RPI, and
yeah.
you don't have kind of the tradition of, you know, going in every year, every other year. I mean, crazy things happen, and like you were mentioning before, we got cut off there. I mean, the South. It's so slanted toward the ECC and the Southeast Conference schools. I think it's 18 or 17 of the top 20 RPI schools.
That's unbelievable.
And I buy that a little bit, but I think a lot of it has to do with money too.
Yep.
I mean, they have huge stadiums. They can produce huge revenues.
Yep.
And I think that's part of it.
Yeah. And I guess you wonder, because this season has been magical. The 18-1 start comes to mind, and then the injuries, and then, you know, them hanging around and winning five of their last six in the conference to finish right there and continuing. I think if you continue to win and if they don't win at all, if they, you know, win those two games and they're in the conversation Saturday, they're playing in the West Coast Conference Championship. You know, I think that's the key. You know, if they were to lose two games right away and they're out Friday, then it's very, very difficult to overcome perceptions and national slants, right?
Yep, I would agree with you. I think the other thing they have going for them is that they were nationally ranked there for about 5, 6, 7 weeks.
Right.
And they were on the radar with that 18-1. You know, the record dropped a little bit as they got into conference play and went up against some great pitching here in the conference. And as you'd mentioned, the injuries that kind of plagued them and continue to, especially on the mound. But you know, they've certainly Coach Littlewood and his staff have certainly turned things around. This is his fourth year. He's got just a tremendous freshman class.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is a young team.
Yeah, there's only two seniors, Eric
Geary
and Dean Nielsen. They both played their last game at Larry Miller Field on Saturday. Great to come from behind victory, over Santa Clara. Geary, left fielder, has been tremendous for 3 years. Hayden Nielsen has started in every game since his freshman year at shortstop. 212 starts.
That's amazing.
And, they'll probably, they've got a couple of draft-eligible young men. Brennan Lund in center field led the conference in hitting. I think he's hitting an even 400 now, which is pretty amazing, over 200 bats. So I think Lund will probably be drafted. My guess would be high enough that he would sign. And, of course, Michael Rucker, the scouts are all over this guy. He's a junior, but, again, draft-eligible. And I've got to believe that he's going to go high enough and get enough compensation that he'll probably leave. But the Cougars, I've got a great recruiting class coming in. They've got about five return missionaries coming back and to bolster this freshman class that they've got now, along with the good sophomores that they've got already on the team. And so, hey, things look great for BYU baseball.
That's great.
It's an exciting time, and they're playing well.
No doubt. And if I could ask you to sort of bring fans into this, like what I'm sensing is the first games, you're going to have your number ones for all four schools, and then you're going to get into rotations. So Friday, Saturday, you would expect to see run production go up and the Rakers take over maybe.
I would think so. When you get into that, especially if you lose a game, especially the first one, you come back Friday and you have to play a doubleheader. I mean, if you win, win the first one, you got to play another one.
Right.
Then you got to come back Saturday. And if you're in that loser's bracket, you got to win two more.
Right.
So it's like a meat grinder. You just can't lose. You can't afford to lose, or it makes it very, very difficult to come back. And what I found in a lot of these conference tournaments, it's kind of the teams that are on a little bit of a roll coming in. And, Gonzaga won five of their last six all on the road. They had to go to LMU and to San Diego. And where they came from was really pretty amazing. And they played they probably played the toughest schedule in the conference this year, based on RPI. So they're on a little bit of a roll.
So is BYU, right?
So are the Cougars. Right. I mean, they played great at the end. A little bit of a patchwork on the mound, but they got it done. They're averaging 8.5 runs a game. Top five in the country, and you know what, Tom? They're going to have to do that in the conference tournament. I believe that.
Right.
They're going to have to score some runs, and if they just continue the consistency with the bats, I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, it'll certainly be a lot of fun, and for you and your craft, packing up and heading over tomorrow, and give us your favorite superstitions going to Banner Island Ballpark. Do you eat at the same place? Is it a hot dog before the game? Give me an idea of the Brent Norton. You have a checklist of things in order for BYU to win. If you don't do them, they're not going to win.
Yeah, I got a certain pair of socks, Tom, that I have to wear.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding. But I do, pre-game meal about 4 hours before, just like the players. I can't eat too much right before the game I can't stand.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of different things depending on the city that I'm in. Of course, Stockton doesn't have the gourmet possibilities that you might find in Malibu or up in San Francisco. So I'm looking for a good diner there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about baseball right now and all about this team, just continuing their consistency and playing well, and I usually like to get to the ballpark a couple hours before and get set up, make sure everything's up and working, and continue the research, and just make sure we bring a quality broadcast to AM 960, and been doing it a long time and enjoy it.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. We know you're going to. The fans, there's an expectation that you deliver on game in and game out. Are there handshakes that you do before you head up to the booth? Is there a player or coach? Is there any, little pregame handshake dance or bro hug or anything you've incorporated?
Well, I've never done that. These kids are in and out of here so quick that I don't get into that. A lot of times I'll eat dinner with them. Usually before the game, I'll try to sit down with Coach Littlewood to get any kind of late updates that might be happening with the team, or any updates on injuries or things like that. But this weekend, we like to bring some former players on and help us with the color commentary this week. Paul Cento, who pitched for the Cougars, now living in San Diego, he also helped us down in Pepperdine. So they bring a good perspective to the broadcast, and just looking forward to it. I mean, that's kind of what you play the whole year to get to this point. So it should be a fun time.
Yeah, and you want to be working in June, like in the NBA playoffs. I mean, you want to be working in June, and that would involve doing very well in Stockton. And either solidifying a bid by winning it or playing well enough to get an at-large. And we're certainly pulling for you, and we'll be listening. Give us an idea, though, for those of us who are back here and have the more mundane chores to look forward to this weekend, when we take a look at our car and, like, I don't know about the oil change, and I got that safety and emissions I've been putting off for weeks. But you have an answer, right? It's Lube Doc. So you guys are ready.
Yeah, we're always ready. We are open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 6, 131 South State there in Orem. I've been kind of an icon in Orem. I built the facility 34 years ago.
Wow.
And same ownership for the entire 34 years, great management team there. And, yeah, good time of year to be thinking about, a travel coming up, getting your oil changed, emissions and inspections. Like it or not, they seem to roll around about once a year, and we can also register your car there for you, so you don't have to go down to the DMV and stand in the line and get your tag. So kind of a one-stop shop. We're proud of the service that we provided for Orem. Tom, we do all of the Orem City vehicles in there. We do a lot of UHP vehicles. We have several large commercial accounts. Utah Valley University, all their vehicles come through. So we've developed some great relationships. We're fast, fair, and friendly, and that's kind of what our motto is. And we'd love to have the motoring public come in and take advantage of the service there.
All right, awesome. Lube Doc, 131 South State Street in Orem for all your car care needs. Once again, Brent Norton, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us. Voice of the Cougars getting ready to head over to Stockton for the WCC Championships and beyond. We're hoping NCAA. I'm counting on it. Thanks so much, Brent. Safe travels, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, Tom.